Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
It's hour 2 of Old School. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you here till 6 o'clock. Old School 3-6 now on the ticket. Royals and Nationals entering the bottom of the ninth inning. Carlos Estevez did allow a run, so the Nats go ahead 8-7 here in the top of the ninth inning. We'll keep you posted on how that game turns out. Again, for those who are interested in tuning into the Royals games, we are Lincoln's home for the Royals. But with the recent storms, we're still working on getting our connection, our satellite tower, all that stuff realigned, set back up. So we are going to get back to being Lincoln's home for the Royals as soon as we possibly can. Jay Foreman, who is Old School brought to our great listeners by?
By the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andre Masless, Old Cheney, and 168th and Maple. Perfect day to grill, though.
Incredible day to grill. A little hot.
Hey, you know what? Before we
just grill under the umbrella, grill in the shade.
That is true. Out here, yes. But just in general, there goes our man right there. This is also for the Texan listeners. Here's my view on cleaning your meat. You always have to.
Always?
Chicken, yes.
Non-negotiable. Okay.
Because here's the deal. People, and it might be some truth to it. Obviously, it'll be so hot. So then, you know, anything that's, you know, left on it from the packaging burns it off. Mm-hmm. But really, if it's dirty or like not sanitary, you just got hot, dirty meat.
But the point of the heat is that it kills the germs.
Is it for sure?
Yes.
Is it for sure?
Jay, that is why they recommend the temperature.
Is it for sure?
It is for sure, Jay.
But does the chemicals take away from the actual temperature of the meat? Because then that percentage of heat is going to the chemicals instead of the meat. Just clean your meat and you don't have to worry about it. Clean your chicken. Clean it and cut it and get that, clean it. Do it right.
Just give it a bath?
It just takes a couple minutes.
I don't have a couple minutes.
Yeah, you do.
I got my grill preheated. It's good to go. I don't have a couple minutes.
It's called preparation. Let me ask you this. Would you go into a game without your game plan, Trump type?
Wing it.
Well, then that's...
I'm kidding.
You might be the shortest. You fired at halftime. You talk about
I'll
Lane
take my buyout.
Yeah, you
I'll
get
take that
Charlie right?
Weiss buyout. I'm on that plan.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. It's like Ed Orgeron. They say, yeah, we're going to give you $16 million. Where I sign up, I'm gone.
Okay. Cool. Eric says, no, you just pat it down with a paper towel and you're good.
Eric, where are you from?
Eric has a 402 area code.
That doesn't mean...
I also have a 402 area code, if that tells you anything.
You remember the dude that called in from Thief River Falls on the after game show?
I do not remember that. Thief River Falls?
Minnesota. It's up there, way up there.
Like basically Canada way up there?
Pretty much.
should be Canada.
And we used to play them sometimes. They'd always come down for like one AU tournament.
Ah.
And when somebody tells you they're from up there, you know they're just a-holes. This dude called in, he was a-hole.
Shocker. Not.
Yeah. He didn't. He definitely.
So you weren't worried about them being like a-holes or just like poorly adjusted to society?
They're probably both. But then the one he called in, it was funny. He said he's from, you know, he had the Minnesota accent.
Minnesota?
Yeah. So you knew where he was from. And I said to him, I bet you from Thief River Falls. He's like, how'd you know that? I was like, there you go. John Corlin says some folks make more work, want crispy skin. Yeah, I like that. Do you like your chicken thighs with skin on or skin off?
Oh, skin on.
There it is.
Yeah. But what's the point of skin off?
It's a little bit of both.
I mean, you got
to
have enough.
You have to be able to do both.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to cook multiple ways. And you can.
No one trick ponies here.
I can clean. I can pat my stuff down with paper towels, Eric, and still make it taste stupendous.
But when you talk about washing your meat, what is your process for washing your meat?
Cold water, vinegar, and some lemon or lime.
Okay.
And then you got to put some gloves on there and get in there and
clean it.
Yeah. Then you cut off all the excess stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See, yeah. But I buy my thighs generally with bone in. I'll cut that stuff out of there. I'll save some money.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, that I'll do. Yeah. That I'm fine with.
Yeah.
Just not about the whole washing meat thing.
It's quick. You learned that when you had chitlins, man. You know you got to do that. Sophisticated. You're too sophisticated, Austin.
What can I say? I can't help myself. Fired up Thursday tomorrow, Jay. Loaded steakhouse potato. The baked potato loaded with grilled top sirloin, butter, cheddar cheese, cream spinach, and a red wine mushroom demi-glaze.
That's your dinner.
$17 yeah, at the Mercado it. East.
That's it.
Go get it.
Pop it in there. Use the cooking instructions. You don't even have to worry about doing anything else.
Problem is you can't take that one home.
Oh, you got to eat
it's live. 11 to 1:30. 11 to 1:30. Mercado East.
Oh. Oh, that's the lunch.
Your lunch.
That's the lunch.
Your lunch plan.
Oh, that's great, though.
Even easier.
Yeah.
No instructions to follow.
Yeah, it's probably a big potato, too. You got to make sure you don't get the itis on the way back to work.
Or do you get the itis on the way back to work or and you take a half day?
Or you take a half day, you'll be on home. You know, nice little, it'd be Thursday. They got any football, get you kick your feet up. Nothing wrong with that.
Cubsker, Jay, do you put butter between the skin and the meat of your turkey?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I haven't done that myself, but that makes some sense. Eric says you're doing too much.
I know. I've become one with that. That's fine.
You come to terms with it?
But you got to do it when you cook all the time. You got to just, well, first of all, it's like Instagram and TikTok. You just believe, once you see one of them, then it's like, you just, if next 3 days, you're going to see it all. But you got to find different stuff to do. Do you have to Yeah, I wash my potatoes.
Oh, just rinse them off. Rinse them, scrub them.
Mushrooms, too. You like mushrooms? Sauteed mushrooms?
Not a big mushrooms guy.
The superfood.
I just, what's the point? What is the point of mushrooms?
You got to season them, huh?
But why mushrooms?
It's all that stuff.
They grow in a forest. This is like survival
it's
food.
It's natural.
I'm a caveman. I'm not Steve Irwin. I'm not doing it.
It's good for you.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, you got to watch the meat eater. You learn a lot of stuff on there. They eat liver and everything on there.
I had liver.
Now what?
Okay, I had foie gras.
any liver, did you like it?
It was fine. Having very little expectation, I told myself I wasn't going to look it up until we had it. I knew generally what it was.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was a little weirded out by it. She had I think we cut in like 8 pieces and she had one. I had the rest. It's not my favorite. Like, I wouldn't
was it
order
liver and
every
onions?
Time.
That's a German thing, right? Liver and onions?
Yeah, but that wasn't it. It was just like, essentially, they just like cooked it.
You got to fry it.
It wasn't fried, though. Oof. They just put it on the grill.
I mean, I know.
It was melting your mouth.
Yeah. I mean, some people really know how to do it. I remember when my grandma and grandfather used to cook liver, right? And it was sometimes liver and onions, but liver. And we had a Rottweiler named Blitz.
I like that.
I had this thing, and I'd eat and chew it up, and then I'd act like I'm chewing it, but I would just keep it in the side of my mouth. As soon as my grandma turned around, I'd give it the blitz. Go to bed hungry in a mug. Or she was like, you're sitting there until you finish it.
How long were you sitting there for?
Well, the first couple times, for an hour.
And then blitz to the rescue.
Yeah, then blitz to the rescue. My cousin put me on game.
How about that?
Yeah.
College football coaches on the hot seat. Well, we have a couple minutes left in this segment.
That's what we got. Well, we got
10
minutes.
We got about 10 minutes or so. According to this list that I'm reading, Jay, there is only one Big Ten coach who may or may not be on the hot seat.
Who's that?
The Athletic says the only Big Ten coach on the hot seat right now is Mike Locksley.
Oh, but yeah. He on, yeah.
Their second paragraph says this. Lockley's seat isn't as warm as many might think. According to sources inside the program, he is so well-respected locally and has built up so much goodwill in his time there that they will be patient with him to try to get things headed back in the right direction.
I believe that. And also, they lost a lot. I mean, the one thing that was interesting down at Big Ten Media Days, he's like, he lost the locker room. He lost it over NIL stuff, and then he lost the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And so guys started probably, you know, comparing check stubs or whatever, or payment stubs or whatever. Didn't go right. He lost the locker room, lost a lot of really good players, at least for their program. You got to think their starting quarterback is gone. Their running back is gone. One of their best offensive linemen is gone. And I know another player is gone. That's pretty much a, you know, that's a big part of the wins if they go back, right? And so, also, I think he's done a good job overall, his tenure of building up the program, building back the respect, recruiting. I remember when he would – Maryland was primarily quarterback skill position, you know, both offense and defense, and they started to get some defensive guys and linemen. Then, you know, I think when they didn't get over the hump, that Ohio State loss a couple years ago was a 2 or 3 week hangover. And it wasn't from a physicality standpoint. I think it was the whole offseason, they thought they were ready.
Because that was the one they lost by missing the 2-point conversion, right?
Yeah, and then remember the following year they went to Ohio State and laid an egg.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and that's yeah, when yeah, this yeah, was yeah, supposed yeah. to be the team. Like that's last right. year they got off the hook. This year is our year, and they got annihilated. And then they went and then didn't peek their head above the water. Were drowning a little bit. Then they started to tread water for a while, and I don't think they ever recovered from that. Because you got to think, Tua's brother left, and remember, it was potentially he was going to get another year. Then he went to the pros, and then they just lost a lot. Then it just seems like the air, you know, went out of the sails. And then college football changed twice.
Yeah,
and I think the expected or assumed, from what I've read, Under Armour money isn't as much as they thought, and so
that's always going to hold you back.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
And it's hard to recruit there. You know, I mean, they got a lot of talent there, but Penn State is getting first dibs every single time.
Penn State's there. I'm sure, you know, Clemson can get up there. It's Virginia not too
Tech.
Far. Virginia Tech. Yeah. Even Virginia, maybe
Virginia,
in the right year.
Notre Dame if they Notre want. Dame. I mean, you're down the list.
Especially those Catholic schools out there in that area.
And also, you got to think, this Maryland over time have had some really good players. You got to think Dwayne Haskins was committed there. Then, you know, they didn't continue to recruit him. I think they really need to look at, they'll get the initial commit or be in the running.
Yeah.
They got to really evaluate, as long as everything's even, revenue sharing, how they can get over the hump.
Same thing for Nebraska in a lot of cases. You know, maybe not to the same degree. Nebraska's had a little bit better track record closing some of those guys, but kind of the same thing, right? For Maryland, who's not exactly a power player in the Big Ten, those staffs, you know, in that similar situation have to be the ones to identify that talent early, start that relationship as early as they can. But man, we continue to see, Jay, it's hard to keep that relationship that strong when these other schools, you know, your Ohio State, Notre Dame, Bama's, what have you, when they come calling, a lot of kids are going to turn a lot more of their attention there unless they get told, oh yeah, you're on the back burner for one of those big schools.
Yeah, especially if the money's the same. It's hard because, you know, I mean, I guess I could just go back to my recruiting is like, you know, it really just turned overnight, right? Mm-hmm. But then it's like, okay, some of the smaller schools put in the time before. And yeah, I dictated that by my play. But just say, you know, like Nebraska has their eye on a kid. And remember the running back that was down in Texas? And I was like, man, this dude's good.
Come on, Lacey.
And then he went, once his profile started to, because the guy that was ahead of him went to Arizona or Arizona State. Mm-hmm. Well, then everybody's like, well, dang, this kid's good. Mm-hmm. Well, Nebraska had him.
Then he went to Missouri.
Right.
And then Ole Miss.
Oh, right. Then Ole Miss. And so.
Or Jones, the defensive tackle that Nebraska was in on early.
Yeah. So it's like, you want to be early because, you know, these kids want the respect, but also I think also with the mindset of these kids, and probably in every sport, they just like accumulating offers. They're like they're like dudes that go to the bar and just say, hey, I walked out with 10 numbers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it's a hard thing to do. And then when you get down to negotiating, look, man, there's no loyalty in this game of football on either side. So you got to go and just essentially do what was that movie, 40 First Dates?
Oh yeah,
that's essentially what you're doing.
Yeah.
Hey, I really want you to be here. This is what we're offering. This is what we can do for you. This is your position with us. Take it or leave it. And then once they get here, then you start to really foster that relationship because, you know, to the players, advisors, agents, and you know, to their, you know, respect, they know how to play the game a lot better than, well, they're allowed to play the game better now. Mm-hmm. They have more knowledge now than before, and so you gotta give them credit.
So Locksley's the one Big Ten coach on this list. A little surprised not to see Luke Fickell.
Bio.
That didn't stop some other coaches on this list from being. Brian Kelly has a $50 million buyout, and he's on this list.
That's LSU and Wisconsin. Wisconsin ain't got that kind of bread.
Anyone else in the Big Ten you would consider then on the hot seat? Strone Moore. If they go 7-5 again, how warm is that seat?
Depends on who has the, what's that little thing you put on the side of your computer with all the
dirty details? Little flash drive?
Yeah. They in this together.
But I'm saying,
this is a we problem with them.
But I go back to Michigan can just get out of it by saying, we are holding ourselves accountable because Sherrone Moore was a part of this. We're cutting this off. It was him. And then Michigan might think it can separate itself.
Another 7-5 year. Or whatever they
and
were.
A loss to Ohio State, let's say.
Yeah, just you don't see consistent improvement. I mean, heck, was it true that they just did open tryouts?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that.
I saw something on the internet. They just did it. So I think he's fine this year. It has to be really bad. I think last year the way they ended gave him some time. He can always go back. Like, look, I beat the number one team that was the highest point difference, or you know. That we were supposed to lose by 20 some points, and I won.
Yeah,
yeah, it's historic victory in that Michigan Ohio State game.
Lincoln Riley buyout deal again.
Yeah, and then but I can see USC making a move if they don't. That's the team, man. You know, that's the team.
That's the whole conference X factor.
It's the national X factor. If you see them, they got some big dudes now. They got some big dudes on defense.
You saw them.
And are they for real or are they not?
What does for real mean? 8-4 better? 10-2 better?
9-3.
Okay.
But I mean, if they go 7-5, he's got to be gone, right?
Even with the buyout, which we don't know, but is assumedly somewhat prohibitive.
or you keep him. But I think now with the whole cost sharing, I think you're going to see the Billy Napier teams will ride it out with him more.
Napier is on this list as well. Is there a world, Jay, in which USC could demote Lincoln Riley to OC?
No.
Head coach are gone.
Why?
He has a job. You know something he's better at?
You know what else a job he would have? Going to the mailbox. And he'd probably move somewhere that ain't bit. So it's a high tax break. Fine. You don't want me to be a coach? I'm going home and you paying me. There's no way in the world he'd be an OC. No way. He ain't like Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly's like, all right, man, I'm out.
But Chip came to that realization.
Chip got, he didn't want to recruit and didn't have the financial support.
USC, who's to say Lincoln Riley can't come to that realization?
Chip wasn't getting paid that type of money, though.
Very few coaches are getting paid that type of money.
Right. That's why it's a we problem. Lincoln Riley is not going anywhere. I think the new, with the whole cost sharing and teams got to come up with $20 million, $22 million, $23 and eventually $25, they're going to have to ride it out with these coaches. Now, what's going to be more important is to look at is what the new contracts look like. With these new that guys that re-up or they get extensions. I don't know how they're going
to
do that.
It's just so fascinating to see just how explosive the market for coaching salaries has gotten in college sports, because Jay, it's not like that in any other sport. College sports will pay their coaches for the most part, especially the high level ones. But even some like upper level like teams in sports leagues across the world, not just across of the American sports, college coaches, especially in football, a little bit in basketball, take up an exorbitant amount of budget compared to their counterparts at the professional levels everywhere else in the world.
Hey, I mean, you know what? I might need it. Okay, so I'm not.
So Jay's 50. Getting into coaching, I guess.
I'm not 50. I'm not 50.
You can see it.
But say I'm 50. Say I'm 50. Yeah, I love you. Thank you, Austin.
You're welcome.
Say I'm 50. How long do you think it would take me to be a head coach?
I think you could go be a head coach at FCS right now. Right job comes open.
I don't think I could probably put together a decent staff.
You telling me you couldn't do what Mike Minner did at Campbell? Telling me you couldn't eventually go to Sac State?
Yeah. I mean, maybe, yeah.
You can take over for Trent Dilfer at UAB. Cut the line a little bit. He's another guy on this list, by the way.
Yeah, he on the hot seat.
and that is completely of his own doing.
Hey, look at Eric. Eric, man. Dang. Eric coming after me, man.
He's on you all day today.
Yeah, bad day, Eric. You still my boy, man. Yeah, Trent Dilfer is on the hot seat. His seat is not hot. That's El Fuego. That's NBA Jam.
He's on fire.
Yeah, he's on fire. He might not make it past the first, like, whatever their bye week. First of all, he's explosive. Right?
Yes.
He is Hype Man Productions. And it's a unique, you got to think, UAB was out of football for a while. Mm-hmm. So it's not an easy job.
Okay, their schedule. Alabama State, same day that Nebraska is playing Cincinnati. Then you have Navy, Akron, Tennessee, bye week, Army, Florida Atlantic, Memphis, bye week, UConn, Rice, North Texas, South Florida. That's another 3-9, 4-8.
They might be 0-12.
I know they're going to win some games. Akron's pretty bad.
I know. I'm just joking, but that's not a
2-10's on the table though.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
legitimately.
That's tough, man. Because you know what? He was a good coach in at that
Elite 11.
Yeah, in that Christian Academy in I think Nashville somewhere. You take that head coaching job, and he came out against, the transfer port, people plucking off his play. It's not an easy job at UAB. No. It's not.
Eric says, sorry, Jay, I haven't had Nick to pick on.
I can take it. Nick can't.
That's why Nick was gone for a week.
Yeah, rested and relaxation. Relax.
North of the border. But he's back now.
So what do you think? 8 years? 58?
I'll give you 5. Again, right job, right situation.
Oh, heck, FCS, I think maybe 5.
Yeah.
I wonder what I call.
Jay Foreman, Montana State defensive coordinator.
Do a year, grunt work, learn everything or two, jump into it. You know, the thing is, I'll do it for free.
Analyst, linebackers coach, 2 years at DC. Mm. Second year, you get the associate head coach tag. Fifth year, head coach gets poached. You like your situation, you're staying, you take over.
There it is.
There's your five-year plan, Jay.
Then what would happen? What do you think the AD would do if we, me and Harbaugh, with our handshake? Hey, that's the problem. The handshake. Because I'm going to dap up and hit you with the forearm. Yeah, you got me this time. I'll see you next year, punk.
Punk.
Or you know when the South Florida guy did the old Texas coach?
Yeah, yeah.
I would hit him with like Harbaugh in the back. Good game.
See you next year. We'll see you on the other side of this break talking with Evan Blaine of the Omaha World Herald.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in to Old School. This segment brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. Check them out online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Lots of great stuff going on down there. Locally owned, family owned and operated company out of Hallam. We're headed to our Aloe Fiber VIP line where we are joined by Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald. Evan, happy Wednesday to you. How are you, good sir?
Hey, yeah, happy Wednesday. Doing all right. We're getting closer to football and school's starting. It's a vibe.
A vibe indeed. 2 weeks from tomorrow, Nebraska and Cincinnati will play their football game opening up the season, a late night kick from Arrowhead Stadium. A couple weeks into fall camp here, Evan, if you had a couple chances to put eyes on the Huskers, we'll start on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of changes there in personnel. What's stood out to you from what you've been able to see at practice from the Nebraska defense so far in fall camp?
Well, I tend to go over, I think, with the defensive line when I've had a chance just to see what that group's all about. I mean, their assistant coach Terry Braden is engaging and energetic. You can always catch a couple nuggets of wisdom from some of his sessions. I kind of like to try to get a better sense of what that rotation could look like. I mean, Riley Van Poppel looks the part, certainly. Elijah Judy, you can see some of the gains he's made, and Cam Lenhart and those guys. So I still think that's a fascinating group when you think about all of the positivity and optimism that coaches have used when discussing what they could be this year. So that's an area I like to look at. I do feel like the linebacker core is pretty interesting too. I mean, Marquise Watson-Trent is a missile when he's moving around. Like, you don't want to be hit by that guy. Ditto for Vincent Shavers, who, you know, he spoke to reporters earlier this week and I thought really looks the part as well. He's gotten bigger and stronger since we saw him in New York City, and Javon Wright's back in the mix. So, you know, I think it's a group that may be destined to be used in a similar way that those guys were in 2023, where it wasn't necessarily a defensive star or two, but it was more like there's a lot of depth and they're going to rotate a lot of guys. And that's kind of the sense I get just looking at how they've been physically, and you hear about how some of the rotations might be coming together. You just kind of get the sense that it's not going to be 12 or 13 or 14 guys that are contributing for the black shirts. It might be, you know, 17, 18, 19 that are going to get significant snaps as the season goes on.
A name I don't think we've heard much of throughout fall camp, despite being a big recruiting splash out of the transfer portal, Williams Nomarney. What are your impressions of him, where he's at in his first season in Nebraska's program?
Yeah, I mean, John Butler said pretty clearly, I think it was last week or earlier this week, that he's going to play. And it's just kind of an interesting journey for him, right? I mean, former five-star kid out of the Kansas City area, and he redshirts at Missouri, plays in a handful of games, but you know, you got some work to do physically to be able to play at that level, and it looks like he's done a lot of that work this offseason. I think Nebraska's nutrition has agreed with him, and the culture has probably been good for him and in his development as well. And I think just based on what we've seen and heard, he'll be in the mix. He's not going to be a starter, certainly not right away, but I think he can be a rotational guy, and you know, maybe he can be one of those guys that if he's showing an ability to rush the passer with some degree of regularity. Maybe he fills sort of that James Williams role from last year where he could come in on some third downs and you just know he's going to get after the quarterback. So that could be the starting point for him. I think long term, he certainly has the pedigree and the ability to be an every down guy. But easy to forget that he's still just in his second year as a college player, has 4 years of eligibility to go. And, you know, at the very least, he'll probably be providing some depth this year. And we'll see, you know, if anything can come beyond that right away.
Matt Rhule mentioned a couple injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Gage Stanger out for the year, as well as Bly Hill, another injury for the FCS transfer in Bly Hill. What does that mean for a guy like Andrew Marshall? Are they looking at him as getting more cornerback reps? Is he ahead of Bly Hill on the depth chart, or is he still kind of in that return specialist kind of role, just hoping to get some reps in the defensive backfield?
No, I get the sense he's got the inside track to being that other corner opposite Sierra Wright. That's kind of the impression I get. Certainly he'll be involved in some capacity as a returner. I mean, he was dynamic returning punts and kickoffs at Idaho previously, so I think he has the ability to be a difference maker there. But yeah, I think he was probably ahead of Bly Hill. I mean, you feel for Hill because you think back to leading up to the spring game in 24. I mean, coaches were talking about him like he had a pretty good chance to be a starter or regular rotational guy on the edge. He had the injury in the spring game, and then just when he's getting back up to speed, he goes down again. So you know, terrible luck. You kind of hate that for him, but I do think that comes at a position group where there is quite a bit of depth, and you start with Marshall and you can kind of work your way down to a lot of the younger guys that the team's excited about. I mean, Donovan Jones and Caleb Benning and Amari Sanders, like these are guys that, you know, if that group ahead of them had decided to leave last year, they'd be starters right now. So I do think they have the depth to sustain that particular loss. And then with Stinger, I mean, he was a guy who was going to be a key special teams player, sort of in the Grant Taggy role, maybe from a couple of years ago, local kid who it just means a ton to and has put in the work and was going to go down and, you know, be ready to make some plays in that phase of the game. So that's one that, you know, maybe his loss isn't quite as obvious just in terms of the depth chart, but I know internally they said they felt like that was a guy who was ready to break out and be a regular contributor in that phase. So another situation where your depth is tested early and you rely on your development and somebody else is going to get those opportunities, and you know, Nebraska's going to hope they can make the most of them.
Well, we're on special teams, Evan. What do you get the sense is different between Mike Eckler's special teams from Ed Foley's special teams? And we heard from Mike Eckler earlier this week, kind of your impressions of the special teams unit and Mike Eckler in the early going of fall camp.
Yeah, I mean, a ton of energy. We knew about Mike Eckler and from his previous stint at Nebraska, and you know, he was the wedge buster at Kansas State as a player back in the day. Like, he's someone who it overflows with energy and enthusiasm. We saw him in the spring event this year, you know, lying down and doing bench presses just sort of on the fly, and he's in his mid-50s. So a guy who just lives and breathes special teams. You hear him talk for 10 or 15 minutes the way that we did this week, and it's just a reminder that he's going to get guys excited for that phase of the game. This is not something that you kind of have to do on the side while you're working to be a starter on offense or defense. Like, there's an understanding that this phase can make a difference in the game, and it can make a difference potentially in your NFL career if you have an ability to play in that phase and to do that job well. And you know, it's going to be really fascinating to see what his impact is this year. I thought he set it up really well in his press conference when he said, when you look up at the end of the year, like, the body of work is going to be pretty good. And so it's not necessarily something that you can break down on a game to game basis and say it was good, it was bad, it was whatever. But I think that he has such a belief in his system, and it's worked everywhere he's been, including at Tennessee against SEC competition. And that confidence is pretty apparent right now. So as everyone knows, I mean, special teams have been a sore for Nebraska for a long time. They've cost them games. They haven't helped them win a lot of games. And if that can start to flip this year, then certainly Eckler is going to be worth everything it took to bring him in, because all these margins are so thin now in the Big Ten. It feels like an NFL Sunday every week, where it comes down to a final drive or a final field goal kick or a few yards here or there. That can make a big difference and swing a couple games. So we'll see if that can pay off, but you certainly get the sense that the culture and the belief is in place for it to make a difference.
We're talking with Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald here on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Speaking just before, Mike Eckler was Matt Rhule's maybe most trusted guy on the staff, and Phil Snow. What did you hear from Phil Snow? What do you think his impact has been so far at Nebraska?
I mean, he's part of the brain trust for sure. It's Matt Rhule, the CEO and coach, and then it's Phil Snow, his former defensive coordinator at multiple stops as a head coach, a guy that he's worked with for a long time. You hear him talk, and it's really impressive. I mean, he clearly is a lifelong coach, someone who's still learning, someone who's still applying lessons that he learned 30 years ago to what he's doing now. He clearly wants to be a mentor to some of the younger coaches on the staff, in addition to his work with the players. And it was just a reminder too, I think, of how smart of a hire it was by Matt Rhule to bring in a guy like that in a time when the head coach has to delegate more than ever. There's so many more off the field things that a head coach has to do. And so who better to bring in to help oversee some of the actual football stuff than somebody that you trust implicitly and have for a long time in Snow. And so I think when you talk about Nebraska's defense this year and what it can be, it's going to be about John Butler, who's the defensive coordinator. It's going to be about Matt Rhule, but it's also going to be about Snow. I mean, make no mistake, he has a role in game planning and philosophy, and he's going to have input, I think, on how some of the schemes set up. And so what a benefit, an advantage for Nebraska to have a guy with that level of knowledge just in the game and in how Matt Rhule likes to do things to be there. So it's certainly a reminder of that, and I'm sure his impact will be felt this year, even if he's not the guy up front every week during press conferences.
Nebraska, of course, changed coordinators on both sides of the ball, but Evan, both guys were on staff last year, at least for some portion of the season. John Butler, all year secondary coach, and then obviously Dana Holgorsen came on in late October, early November for Nebraska. Do you think that's made the transition to, you know, going to those two gentlemen's schemes a little easier on the players so far in spring ball and fall ball?
Yeah, certainly on offense, I think that's been the case. I mean, we heard from players and from Holgorsen himself saying how invaluable that time was, not just the stretch in November, but then you had the entire month of December, you had bowl practices to acclimate, to get to know the roster. They got to know him a little bit. And so then you could go into spring and the summer sort of running without having to start from scratch. And from what we've seen in open practices and things like that, like it's, I think, where Nebraska wants it to be. They understand what he's looking for in terms of path concepts. He's been able to work with Dylan Raiola now for, you know, whatever it's been, 9 or 10 months. So there's a ton of value there. And with Butler, I don't know that it's all that different from what Tony White ran. I mean, Nebraska still wants to employ a 3-3-5. Butler's plenty familiar with the back end of that, I guess the five part of that from his time with the defensive backs. And, you know, he's somebody too who you hear talk and hear other people describe his teaching style. He can boil it down and make it simple and make it so, you know, players can execute what's being called without having to overthink and slow down trying to analyze things. So I think you've got two good teachers in their new coordinators. That's something you can't really overstate the importance of. Like that's really key. And Nebraska's had guys the other way that hasn't been true for. So I think that familiarity, that teaching style, the way that they both connect with players in probably different ways, sure, it absolutely could pay off and maybe makes that transition not quite as abrupt as if these were just kind of traditional new coordinator hires like you might see in other places.
Pretty much 2 weeks left before the first game, Evan. What are the kind of key position battles that you're watching here with just a couple weeks left before kickoff?
Offensive tackle would be one for sure. You want to see how that shapes out on the edge. It looks like, it, just based on what you see in a little bit of open practice, maybe Elijah Pritchett and Teddy Prochaska are working with possible slight edges there. It's really hard to say. Gunnar Gatula's in that mix. Tyler Kanak, Turner Corcoran. I mean, all those guys are back and practicing as well. So how does that shake out for the opener? And then we'll see how much they want to rotate those guys, or if you just sort of have a starting five and lean on them primarily. A kicker would be another one. Mike Eckler spoke to that this week. They'll probably announce a guy at the end of next week. And so do you go John Hall or Kyle Cunanan, maybe Tristan Alvano? From what we've seen from those guys, there just really haven't been a lot of misses anywhere. So that's probably going to come down to some really, you know, detailed stuff, maybe distance, you know, whatever it might be. That's one, I think, that you look at. And then I kind of mentioned defensive line a little earlier. I don't know how much doubt there is necessarily in who the starters are, but just like, what's that rotation maybe beyond Riley Van Poppel and Cam Lenhart and Elijah Judy? I mean, how much does Williams Winery factor into that? Jalen George, Keona Davis, like, are those guys ready to make that next step as well? I think there's a lot of that going on where maybe some of the starters are more set, but who's that next wave of guys that are going to get that opportunity whenever it comes up during the season? I think that's still something they're sorting through here with a couple weeks to go.
Couple weeks to go before kickoff as of tomorrow officially. Bet Evan Blaine of the Omaha World Herald joining us on our Olive Fiber VIP line. Evan, as always, great to talk to you. Thanks for your time, and we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Austin. See ya.
Big thanks to Allo for their sponsorship of that VIP line. Allo is where they understand the importance of both exceptional service and local heart. We'll go to break, wrap up hour two of Old School, get you set up for the third hour of the show after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back wrapping up hour two of Old School. This segment brought to you by Love Volleyball Nebraska, not Love Volleyball Omaha. Of course, they rebranded. You can still go get or renew your season tickets today, lovb.com. Follow the portal till you get to Love Nebraska. Plenty of former Huskers on the team and in the league, former Olympians, Olympic champions, national champs, national team players, all those great accomplishments taking the court for your Love Volleyball at Nebraska team. Jay, a couple things to react to there, I think, from our conversation with Evan Bland. First of all, defensive line rotation. Sounds like the first group has been Cam Lenhart, Elijah Judy, and then Evan was saying Riley Van Poppel. He of the single digit number five. Congratulations to that young man on that. Then you do have some talent behind that, right? Keona Davis is a name that got a lot of buzz during the spring with Nebraska being able to, of course, pull him back out of the transfer portal. Going to be really interesting to see how that shakes out, where they view Keona Davis playing along that defensive line, because I do think obviously that's a position that we've seen time and time again. You got to have some depth. But we also saw from the last couple of years, depth is one thing, but being able to have a true difference maker or two along that line, that goes almost just as far.
You definitely got to be consistent there. And you got to, you got to have a guy that, you know, that's, you know, when you go into a game, that's the guy they highlight, you know? And so, yeah, it's interesting that, you know, they kind of know, you know, Evan's saying that, you know, they kind of know who the guys are, and you kind of expected those, right? Because you got to think Cam Lenhart's played, you know, he pretty much was a, you know, very high rotational player, had a really good, you know, freshman year, mm-hmm. a little bit of, you know, rocky second year, but everything you heard coming out of the spring, he's really turned the corner, right? Probably in better, the best shape that he's been in, gotten better. He's dealt with success. He's dealt with a little adversity. Now he's ready to kind of, you know, reach his full potential. And then Judy played a lot last year, or, you know, played almost every, you know, he played in every game. Mm-hmm. I think he made a huge play against Rutgers. I think, you know, I think on a third or fourth down. And then Van Poppel is like the interesting one, where he played his freshman year. He didn't look out of place. And then they
got his four games.
He got his four games last year. And, mm-hmm. and that was planned. And mm-hmm. so you kind of expected those guys to be at the forefront. And then Keona Davis, came on, I think, last year. And then obviously the portal is the portal. That's a business decision. And so you got him, and then you went to hit the portal. So it'll be interesting to see what guys continue to hopefully separate themselves from the pack, both in, you know, obviously establish themselves as, you know, trustworthy starters, consistent guys day in and day out, and more importantly on Saturdays or whenever they play. But then more, then also just as important are the guys that's going to rotate in the game, because you're not going to be able to just play three guys all year long, you know, 60, 70, 80 snaps. You got to have guys that are going to go in there, not only relieve the starters, but then also play well enough that there's no drop off. And then sometimes some of the guys, you know, might come off and might be like your pass rush specialist. So
Nuarney, like you said,
where, you know, everything you hear from him, he's in, you know, better shape, and he's starting to kind of come around to show, you know, why he was one of the top picks. And real quick before we went, you know, go to break, is like, I think in 97 we had a guy like Matt Saltzman. He was tiny, number 74, but he was really good on third down. So he'd come in and play, you know, Ogar would go out, who was huge.
Big dude, yeah.
Yeah, and then you bring him in, and him and Jason, they could really, really attack teams as far as, like, running games and stuff like that.
The other piece to get to, I think, on the defensive line is Gabe Moore, the Mississippi State transfer. Haven't heard his name a lot, working back from an injury, I think it was, last year. Does he factor in? But Van Poppel's a young guy with a single digit. I mean, sophomore standing, yeah, but still underclassman. And Vincent Chavers, still rocking number one. Jay, those are two young dudes that their teammates said, yeah, they're going about their business the right way, and they're making plays. We'll follow those dudes. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the most important. I mean, obviously, you want the coaches, you know, see and know, but I think, you know, the players know who the guys that are put in the work. And so, you know, I never knew about the single digit thing. I think that's a newer type of thing, because we couldn't wear those. So,
right,
you know, it's a traditional thing, or what people really pay a lot of attention to. So you got to make sure not only are you handling your business as potentially a black shirt, but more importantly, single digit.
Remains to be seen. We'll go to break. Hour three of Old School comes your way in just a sec. Plenty more football conversations and more on the way.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.